Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome to Grid Gossip. What are we, episode 7 now? It is the Miami Grand Prix. My name is Dell, here along with partner in crime, Julie. For the last time, Rushi.
Indeed.
It's a big week.
Last time I have to tell someone how to pronounce my last name or spell it.
I remember when I started dating your sister, I could never spell the last name correctly. Ever.
I think Brian knows how to spell it.
But yeah, it's a big week. Julie is getting married on Saturday. My speech is buttoned up real nice.
Yeah, and you already left the group chat.
Left the group chat this morning.
So I recognize that orange shirt you got on there. You want to describe what kind of orange shirt you're wearing to our listeners?
Yeah, well, it's funny. So I'll give you a hint. In the first hint, I'll throw you off right away, right? It's an orange shirt.
I know what shirt it is, but our listeners don't.
But the first thing it says is Aston Martin. Did you notice that? But then below it says Red Bull Racing.
Yeah.
And on the other pectoral, it has the Max Verstappen 33 with his signature on it.
Which is very vintage, because now he's number one.
He'll be, yeah, that's true. But he might be 33 next year, so there's always a chance. But yeah, so I'm wearing a Max Verstappen shirt. For the record, just for you, because it's your wedding week.
That's a beautiful gift. And isn't this shirt too small?
You got me a medium, but I think mediums in Europe are much smaller, because I'm shredded in this shirt. Like, I'm popping out of it. Shoulders look great. Arms just bulking out.
So our listeners are going to be so happy for that description.
You say I'm lying? but when we go to Netherlands, I will bring this with me, because I'm not going to go. Okay. To that race, not wearing orange. I just got.
Yeah, you can't. You'll die. You will get killed.
Anyways, so it's a big week. We just had all kinds of stuff going on this week. So out of nowhere, we got invited to live stream, live commentary, Bleacher Report, the Miami GP for the Bleacher Report app, which was pretty cool experience. That came out of nowhere, so we had to prep for that and learn how to do all that stuff. So it was just a wild week, and I'm sure it's only going to get more stressful for you.
Yeah, I'm ready for the weekend to get here. But now I'm just on like beauty prep. So that's the fun part.
No last second zits or pimples or anything like that. No blemishes.
My dermatologist said if I get one, I can go in and she'll shoot it up.
Oh God, that sounds so weird. Yeah, I'm kind of counting down the minutes till we get to that post-ceremony cocktail hour. So once we get there, I'll be in prime form.
Got some high noons, ready to crush them.
Oh, we have high noons at the bar?
Yeah, I swapped out White Claws for high noons.
Oh, that's such a pro move. Such a pro move. Thank you. Very nice. Thank you.
Well, let's start at the top from last weekend. A little bit of facts about the track itself. It is the first race in Florida since 1959, and it's the 77th venue to ever hold a Grand Prix. And then this is the first of the 10-year contract between Miami and F1. So I feel like if it was this big and prominent in its first year, like every year is just going to get probably bigger and bigger for the Miami race. So the only way to go is up. It's a 19-turn track with three straights, the longest being 0.8 mile. That's far.
It's long.
Yeah, three DRS zones, and the drivers can reach over 200 miles per hour. And this is like a funny fact in addition to a fun fact, but the Royal Palms is like right around, all the palm trees around the track have iguanas in them. And I guess they kept falling onto the track, and they're like 20 pounds. So they were kind of making sure that there were no iguanas in any of the trees. I mean, could you imagine if like an iguana just fell and just got smashed by one of the cars in the middle of the race? That would have been funny. Poor iguana, though.
Would have exploded. Yeah, they had to trim the trees back. So any of the branches that were overhanging the track, they cut them down so the iguanas wouldn't fall. But yeah, I mean, those things get big. 20 pounds, that's a big-ass iguana.
Yeah, And then, you know, the track was built around the Hard Rock. And so it had, you know, real yachts on fake water. It had beach clubs. I mean, it felt like it was a full on Miami festival weekend with all of the concerts. I mean, I feel like you don't see the drivers going to these different concerts Thursday through Saturday, typically, for other race weekends. So they really went all out.
Yeah, the hospitality suites look ridiculous. They look like something I'd be very interested in checking out. As far as all the, you know, post-race festivities, and to your point about the drivers attending events, there was a ton of that. I just wonder, is that because it's the first race ever? Like, will that happen again next year? It can't get any more crowded or crazy than it was this year. It'll be interesting to see what next year looks like. But it was, they built it up really well. You can't deny that.
Yeah, I think Miami just brings celebrities. Like, the city itself is like a celebrity city. So I feel like it's easy for people to go, and it's a big music city. But there was some excitement in practice. Do you recall what it was? I remember something exciting happened, but.
Oh, well, you had a couple crashes. All right. So I was wondering who was going to be the first person to put it in the wall. So it was actually Bottas was the first one to put it into the wall. I would have definitely put my money on Latifi. So that was surprising. But you had a couple big shunts, Ocon and Sainz, both hitting the wall at the same turn. Both were okay. Ocon, I believe, missed qualifying because he hit the wall so hard, so he wasn't able to make an attempt at qualifying. Started last. Sainz was able to do qualifying. Qualified. Where did he qualify? 3, 4.
Yeah, second. I mean, I thought he was like after that crash, like we're just kind of repeating the bad luck, and he wasn't going to turn it around, but he did, and I'm proud of him for that.
Yeah, so he put it on the front row actually. So he started second. So that was good to see him recover. But that was most of the action in qualifying. As far as pole, Leclerc took pole. You had an all Ferrari front row, followed by Red Bull second row. And then an old school Mercedes third row with Bottas and Hamilton.
Yeah, so pretty smooth qualifying.
I guess the only other big news in qualifying was Russell qualified, 13th, 14th? He had one of those days. Just, it's very interesting. That Mercedes car is so, it's just so sensitive, you know, because he was P1 in free practice too. And his time would have been good for P4 in qualifying. So to see him qualify, you know, below 10th was pretty shocking. But that was about it. Qualifying was pretty straightforward.
Moving on to race day. It was hot. It was hot. Lots of celebrities. The track itself was so crowded. There were celebrities everywhere. The guy that, you know, kind of runs through the lineup and is trying to interview everyone. I mean, he could barely get past people. And then the celebrities were like, why are you talking to me? And then the celebrities were also like, what is Formula One? Like it was like a combination of both things. Like, I don't understand why this man is coming up to me. And it's so normal for him to do so. But like, I also have known nothing about Formula One. So I always love watching him go around and like poaching people and try to getting them to talk to him. But it was extra comical this time.
Yeah, I mean, it was packed. And Martin Brundle was just bouncing around from celeb to celeb. The funniest part was when I don't know who Paolo Banchero is. But he does look like Patrick Mahomes. But Brundle went up to him and started talking to him about as if he was Patrick Mahomes. And it wasn't until the very end of the interview, he was like, oh, you're not Patrick Mahomes. Sorry. Who are you? Okay, well, whatever.
I do love that guy. He's like, he has no shame. No shame at all. He's got to like throw back some shots before getting in there and just like going up to everyone. Because he doesn't even like, he will like go up to somebody like a driver mid-conversation. And just interrupt and be like, can I interview you now? Like, no shame. It's really quite hilarious.
Who was it last year? Megan Thee Stallion, after that incident on the track? Like, Brundle, yeah. Like, you can't touch him. He's just like, no. You can't touch him. So.
It is certainly fun.
Who is Paolo Banchero? I guess he's a basketball player. He looked pretty tall. Yeah, he must
What's
be a basketball
name?
Player. Paolo Banchero.
Ban?
He looks, I mean, he looks like a much taller Patrick Mahomes. I will give Brundle that.
I don't know who either is, so.
Anyway, so yeah, the grid was packed, absolutely packed. Every celebrity was out there. As far as celebrities go, I mean, we could talk all day about that. I think that GOAT picture with Lewis, Michael Jordan, Tom Brady, and Beckham, I mean, I don't know if you can beat that foursome, so that was pretty cool to see them get together. Michelle Obama was in the Mercedes garage, I think, the day prior. The list goes on and on. It was actually overwhelming when we were trying to just put notes down. I just stopped taking notes because everyone was there. And that's my point. Like, next year, I don't think that many celebrities will be like on track, but who knows? I mean, it, like, to your point, it's Miami, so you could be right. But I would say the dichotomy between celeb action and the actual race, pretty big spread there. Pretty big spread there.
Yeah, absolutely.
So to the race, you had, again, Ferrari front row, Red Bull second row, Bottas and Lewis in the third. And pretty clean start for Leclerc. Hits turn one in the lead. Max was able to get in front of Sergio into turn one to jump into second right away. And Lewis actually had a good start off the line, but Sergio, as he was pulling in to make the corner, kind of slowed down a little bit, and he had to jump the brake. So he fell back a few spots right away, but he was able to make them up. And the race was pretty clean. There was no accidents. It was very low maintenance, if you will, through the first, I don't know, it was like 40 laps.
Yeah. I mean, there were things that happened. I don't think it was like I feel like you are perceiving it to be a much more boring race than I thought it was, at least. I mean, after the start was boring, it was clean, not much drama there, but then you kind of saw Norris sinking. He had a really great start and you thought he was going to have a good race, but then he just started dropping. And then Perez starting complaining to his engineers that he was losing power, and he was getting a little bit of that Red Bull temper, which he doesn't normally have. He's usually much more calm, cool, and collected, but perhaps he learned a few things from Max. Yell at your engineers, they do things.
Yeah, I mean, they've had reliability issues, so I can understand him being fearful that might be the issue, but he made it out okay. You know, Lewis was able to climb back up. You saw the power of the DRS was pretty decent. But I mean, geez, I mean, it wasn't until really lap 41 that you got some spice, you know, with the Norris Gasly collision, bringing out the safety car. I would say of note, a lot of guys ran long on the hards in their first stint, to include Russell, who stayed out and nailed a safety car timing to jump from, I think he was in, started in 12th. Where did he start? 12, 13, 14?
Yeah, he started 12th. Russell had communicated with his engineers on the radio, you know, do we keep these tires on until there's a safety car, which is such a risk. Ultimately, it worked in his advantage. And we did get a safety car with Norris. Did you see the meme? Or
Which
the TikTok
one?
About when Norris was spinning out?
No.
Oh my God. It's an Enrique Iglesias song called Bailando. And so somebody matched up it saying like Bailando to him spinning around. And it was so funny. I just kept watching it over and over again.
But that was your main action, you know. I mean, Russell nailed the timing of the pit, so he came back out in fifth. You had a little battle between him and Bottas and Lewis for a little bit, but Lewis was running on older tires, and then the race kind of, you know, finished up. Like I said, it wasn't the worst race in my opinion, but I also will admit it was going to be hard to match the pre-race, pre-festivities energy in the race because, you know, they built that thing up like crazy. So it is what it is. At the end of the day, you got a little bit of action and, you know.
Yeah. Max was really racing himself. Charles couldn't catch back up.
Once he passed him, yeah. Ferrari did. They just didn't have the straight line speed, unfortunately. So
certainly.
So yeah, good race. You know, I think it's a is it a venue I'd like to hit up for sure.
Only if we are filthy rich, though, because otherwise it would be miserable.
Yeah. You mean like hospitality wise? Yes, for sure.
Yeah. You want to be in that beach club because that's also where they were having like the concerts. There was a lot of like off-grid stuff happening. I would say like prior to the race, my personal favorite moment was the McLaren boys filming a segment with James Corden, and they had their orange shirts and crop tops. And I mean, that will forever be ingrained in my brain, as well as Vettel wearing his underwear on top of his suit.
That was classic.
Yeah.
Classic.
Very hilarious. And then I think my favorite moment post race was when they entered the chill down room or the cool down room and Sainz is in there without a shirt
off. With a shirt off. I saw that. I figured you were probably losing your mind.
I was dying. And then there's all like at one point, like Charles looks at him and is like, I think you have to like put your shirt on. Like, put your shirt on, dude. And he was like, I'm just so hot. And I'm like, you are hot. Yes.
I was surprised he had his shirt off because I don't think I've ever seen that before. And I was also surprised he didn't look as cut as I expected
no,
him to.
No, he's so soft. He's like just like a gummy bear.
Yeah, I thought he would look cut. And I was also thinking like you also just did a race. So you've lost all this water. Like you're probably even more like cut up and sweaty. And he just looked kind of dad bodish. Soft.
Yeah, well, like a thin dad bod. Yeah, like nothing there. He has really skinny legs. There was like a photo on Instagram of him stretching, and I was like, wow, if that's how like skinny your leg looks, like when you're kind of like doing a quad stretch, like you got tiny legs. And then also when they were on the podium, they got football helmets, which was so strange, instead of hats. That was funny.
They like didn't know what they were. It was so funny. They had like the chin strap just hanging. I was like, first of all, who put the chin straps on? Like, take the chin straps off.
I also went down a really deep YouTube rabbit hole before the weekend, and F1 did all these video series with the drivers. And like one of them was like naming, like they asked the drivers what city different American sports teams were from. And so it was like any sport. So it'd be like soccer teams, basketball teams. So it'd be like the Phillies, like the Astros. And like the only person that got them 100% correct guess.
Lewis.
No, he did so really? Bad, actually. And I was shocked by it. Guess you got 100% on their test.
100%. Give me one more guess. I'm trying to think here. I'm going to go Latifi.
No, Charles, because he's just perfect
really?
And always. Yeah, 100%.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, that was the race. It was an entertaining weekend, just given the new event. I think they did an exceptional job. If that's the type of job we can expect them to do for new events in the States, Vegas may be just absolutely insane.
It will
year.
Be.
So
I very much guarantee that.
Yeah, and that's an event I actually have that one dialed up as like, I think they're doing it in November. Like I'm like, probably going to have to do that one next year. Like that's probably going to need to go down. So what did you think of the experience? I mean, the whole Bleacher Report thing was cool.
I thought it was fun. I thought we did a great job.
The experience was fun. It was definitely something new. I mean, the concept of commentating on a race, but not doing play to play, kind of talking about, you know, all the extracurricular while also still knowing what's happening in the race.
Yeah, it was a multitasking like I've never known.
Never. Taking in messages from the producer, definitely humbling and gave me a lot of respect for people that make a living on air. I would say if we did it again, which I'd be pumped to do, I actually wouldn't have one of my screens streaming the actual race live. That's probably the only thing I would do differently is one, make sure I have the right chat up, but also just not stream the race, just use the map. And
also just comes with practice. Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
I thought we did amazing for our first time.
Oh, yeah.
And hopefully you'll hear us all on there again.
Yeah, it was it was fun. It was fun. I got a lot of people like, oh, how'd you guys do that? Like, honestly, just kind of landed in our lap.
Yeah.
VR, the whole thing. But so what do we have? We have a week off.
Yes. And then Barcelona. Have you figured out who your guest host is going to be?
I was going to say, for the record, you're not going to be on the next pod because you will be honeymooning.
Yes. Have you lined up a guest host?
We've got some options. Options in play for sure. Putting some work into it. Give everyone the lowdown on the honeymoon itinerary. Give them a little insight on what's going down.
I'm not telling anyone where I'm going.
You're going to Barcelona.
I am. I'm going to. I didn't know what details you were expecting. Me
not
to
like
share
what
here.
Hotel room you're going to be in. Yeah, no.
Like that's a safety concern. I will be in Spain and Portugal. Yes, that's as much as I want to share.
You are doing Portugal. Okay.
Yeah. Spain for a week and then Portugal for a week. I will be in Barcelona during the race. We will not be going to the race unless a miracle happens or an act of God, but it will be fun to be in the city while the race is going on, nonetheless. Unfortunately, it seems like my Ferrari jacket will not be here in time for me to leave. So that's probably the biggest disappointment of the week.
Yeah. Well, hey, they was on pre-order, I don't know what to tell you. Although you probably won't need it there either. The weather should be pretty good, right?
My fans have been wondering, when will the jacket come? Did the jacket get ordered? What jacket did she order?
Jacket was ordered.
Yep. Okay.
Jacket is the one you chose.
All right. Well, I'll believe it when I wear it on the pod. Well, I'll believe it.
Dude, call Ferrari. They haven't shipped it out yet.
If I could call Ferrari, I would ask them other things.
Well, I think that will do it for the week. Awesome event in Miami. They built it up really well. Had a great time on Bleacher Report. Great experience. And now, a couple days until what do you call it? Officiant your wedding? Aficionado your wedding?
You officiate.
There we go. Officiate your wedding. I got that dialed in. So I'm excited about that. But like when that first cocktail hits my lips after the ceremony, literally I'm going to be cloud nine. So I'm counting the hours. But we'll be off next week and then back the following week, sans Julie, with a special guest co-host. So we'll see you then. Yeah, until then, hit us up on Instagram @GridGossipF1. Check out the website, and we will see you guys on the flippity flip.